Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Today's the 7th of December. I'm Brian, and it's awesome to be here with you today. I said that like my daughter used to say, awesome, when she's just this little girl. She wouldn't say the M in awesome. She'd say awesome with like an N, awesome. I don't know exactly where that all came from. So, how are you? I don't have any way to tie in China saying awesome to the Bible. So let's just get to it. We're reading from the Passages Bible this week. From the Old Testament, we're reading from the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse 1 through 9, verse 17. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Therefore, I cut you in pieces with my prophets. I killed you with the words of my mouth. Then my judgments go forth like the sun. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. As at Adam, they have broken the covenant. They were unfaithful to me there. Gilead is a city of evildoers, stained with footprints of blood. As marauders lie in ambush for a victim, so do bands of priests. They murder on the road to Shechem, carrying out their wicked schemes. I have seen a horrible thing in Israel. There, Ephraim is given to prostitution. Israel is defiled. Also for you, Judah, a harvest is appointed. Whenever I would restore the fortunes of my people, whenever I would heal Israel, the sins of Ephraim are exposed and the crimes of Samaria revealed. They practice deceit. Thieves break into houses. Bandits rob in the streets. But they do not realize that I remember all their evil deeds. Their sins engulf them. They are always before me. They delight the king with their wickedness, the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers, burning like an oven whose fire the baker need not stir, from the kneading of the dough till it rises. On the day of the festival of our king, the princes become inflamed with wine, and he joins hands with the mockers. Their hearts are like an oven. They approach him with intrigue. Their passion smolders all night. In the morning it blazes like a flaming fire. All of them are hot as an oven. They devour their rulers. All their kings fall, and none of them calls on me. Ephraim mixes with the nations. Ephraim is a flat loaf not turned over. Foreigners sap his strength, but he does not realize it. His hair is sprinkled with gray, but he does not notice. Israel's arrogance testifies against him, but despite all this, he does not return to the Lord his God or search for him. Ephraim is like a dove, easily deceived and senseless, now calling to Egypt, now turning to Assyria. When they go, I will throw my net over them. I will pull them down like the birds in the sky. When I hear them flocking together, I will catch them. Woe to them, because they have strayed from me. Destruction to them, because they have rebelled against me. I long to redeem them, but they speak about me falsely. They do not cry out to me from their hearts, but wail on their beds. They slash themselves, appealing to their gods for grain and new wine, but they turn away from me. I trained them and strengthened their arms, but they plot evil against me. They do not return to the Most High. They are like a faulty bow. Their leaders will fall by the sword because of their insolent words. For this they will be ridiculed in the land of Egypt. Put the trumpet to your lips. An eagle is over the house of the Lord, because the people have broken my covenant and rebelled against my law. Israel cries out to me, "Our God, we acknowledge you," but Israel has rejected what is good. An enemy will pursue him. They set up kings without my consent. They choose princes without my approval. With their silver and gold, they make idols for themselves, to their own destruction. Samaria, throw out your calf idol. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of purity? They are from Israel. This calf, a metal worker has made it. It is not God. It will be broken in pieces, that calf of Samaria. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no head. It will produce no flower. Were it to yield grain, foreigners would swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now she is among the nations, like something no one wants. For they have gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey wandering alone. Ephraim has sold herself to lovers. Although they have sold themselves among the nations, I will now gather them together. They will begin to waste away under the oppression of the mighty king. Though Ephraim built many altars for sin offerings, these have become altars for sinning. I wrote for them the many things of my law, but they regarded them as something foreign. Though they offer sacrifices as gifts to me, and though they eat the meat, the Lord is not pleased with them. Now he will remember their wickedness and punish their sins. They will return to Egypt. Israel has forgotten their maker and built palaces. Judah has fortified many towns, but I will send fire on their cities. That will consume their fortresses. Do not rejoice, Israel. Do not be jubilant like other nations. For you have been unfaithful to your God. You love the wages of a prostitute at every threshing floor. Threshing floors and wine presses will not feed the people. The new wine will fail them. They will not remain in the Lord's land. Ephraim will return to Egypt and eat unclean food in Assyria. They will not pour out wine offerings to the Lord, nor will their sacrifices please him. Such sacrifices will be to them like the bread of mourners. All who eat them will be unclean. This food will be for themselves. It will not come into the temple of the Lord. What will you do on the day of your appointed festivals, on the feast days of the Lord? Even if they escape from destruction, Egypt will gather them, and Memphis will bury them. Their treasures of silver will be taken over by briars, and thorns will overrun their tents. The days of punishment are coming. The days of reckoning are at hand. Let Israel know this. Because your sins are so many and your hostility so great, the prophet is considered a fool, the inspired person a maniac. The prophet, along with my God, is the watchman over Ephraim. Yet snares await him on all his paths, and hostility in the house of his God. They have sunk deep into corruption, as in the days of Gibeah. God will remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins. When I found Israel, it was like finding grapes in the desert. When I saw your ancestors, it was like seeing the early fruit on the fig tree. But when they came to Baal Peor, they consecrated themselves to that shameful idol and became as vile as the thing they loved. Ephraim's glory will fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, no conception. Even if they rear children, I will bereave them of every one. Woe to them when I turn away from them. I have seen Ephraim like Tyre, planted in a pleasant place. But Ephraim will bring out their children to the slayer. Give them, Lord. What will you give them? Give them wombs that miscarry and breasts that are dry. Because of all their wickedness in Gilgal, I hated them there. Because of their sinful deeds, I will drive them out of my house. I will no longer love them. All their leaders are rebellious. Ephraim is blighted. Their root is withered. They yield no fruit. Even if they bear children, I will slay their cherished offspring. My God will reject them because they have not obeyed him. They will be wanderers among the nations. Okay, so we read rapidly through the second epistle of John, and we've come to his third letter, 3rd John. And this was probably written right along with the 2nd John, or very shortly thereafter. And it's a little different than John's first and second letters in that this is a personal letter to a man named Gaius. The letter was probably written from Ephesus, where John spent the latter years of his life. Gaius was an upstanding Christian man who was a member of one of the nearby churches, and he was passionate about assisting missionaries in the area and furthering the gospel of Jesus. In a fascinating picture of church politics, a man named Diotrephes inserts himself into the equation because he does not like the way that Gaius is doing his missionary assistance. So John writes this letter to Gaius to affirm him and what he's doing, and to let him know that he will deal with the issue. This letter helps us see lines of spiritual authority. It also helps us see that some of the issues that we see about us today were even struggles for the early church. It's so often that we find ourselves romanticizing the way that the early church formed and was built. And then we look at things that have hurt us or wounded us in our lives. Or we look at the status of things with kind of this air of contempt. And often we have these feelings like, if we could just get back to how things were. But the reality is that this human struggle has always been there. This constant contending for community and constant nurturing and being vigilant over it is no different than the vigilance required in our own marriages to kind of keep things moving together. And this is a part of the church story from the very, very, very beginning. And John's letter that we'll read today helps us to understand that. So in its entirety, 3rd John. The elder. To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. Psalm 126, A Song of Ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them." Proverbs 29:12-14. If a ruler listens to lies, all his officials become wicked. The poor and the oppressor have this in common: the Lord gives sight to the eyes of both. If a king judges the poor with fairness, his throne will be established forever. So it's interesting what we kind of started to talk about just a second ago as we were just discussing 3 John and its place in scripture and its place in church history. I've had countless discussions on the value of church, the value of community, what it could and should look like, you know, how to get there, how to maintain it. And a lot of the discussions really end up with a person saying, "I just want to get back to the early church." And I think books like 3 John show us that the human heart and the posture of it is true no matter when you find yourself in human history. So we look through all of scripture, and one of the reasons it's so relevant to us, one of the reasons that we can say, "Man, that really continues to speak to me," even though this was maybe written 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, is because the human heart remains intact. It just has different clothes on it, right? I mean, it just has different customs. But customs and culture, they shift and change. I mean, every generation has its cultural nuances. And every generation kind of throws off some of the things from the one before, trying to better itself, as well as render the previous generation irrelevant so that it can be relevant. This is no different throughout church history, but the human heart remains the same. And so what we really have to ask ourselves when we have discussions on what it is we want out of community is, what is the posture of my heart toward community? What is it that I'm trying to achieve here? And am I willing to give everything that I'm trying to achieve? Am I willing to be that girl? Am I willing to be that guy that would give the same things that I'm trying to take? This guy, Diotrephes, that John writes about, is obviously trying to usurp authority, have control over everything, and really contain the movements of the church. And we could say, well, that's just, he's just evil, he's just a bad person, but Diotrephes has a story. There's a reason why he's got that posture of heart. He could have been very, very hurt over time. Or he could just be an arrogant jerk. I mean, we don't know that. That's not revealed to us. What we do know is that he lived and that he has a story. Because we all have stories. And they create our convictions about why we feel the way that we do. Why we deserve what we think we deserve. Why we can't have what we think we want. And why we're content with the things that we're content with. They all come into play. It's all in the posture of heart. Gaius has a different story. He just wants to see the gospel move forward. What happened in his life to make him desire that? All of these things come into play. that create the context from which John writes this letter. And this kind of boiling pot hasn't changed. We find ourselves in it at the same time. The truth is, it boils down to this. What is the posture of your heart? And, man, that's the biggest question that we could ask ourselves. Really, what is my posture of heart toward everyone around me? What is my posture of heart toward God? I mean, we've spent enough time in the Bible now that we kind of have a sense of what our posture of heart ought to look like. And we've had a sense from Scripture of what is offered as we continue to rid ourselves of ourselves. But this is a vigilant and ever active effort on our part. What is the posture of my heart toward God today, right now? What is the posture of my heart to those around me? And why? Why? Because the reality is, most of the time, it's not external. Most of the time, the frustrations are internal. Preference, personal bias, personal desires, things that we can't have or that we can't control. And so, we place them externally and react to them externally. If he would just be more like that, I'd be fine. If they didn't do that, or if that custom were abolished, I'd feel more comfortable. It boils down to that we live pretty selfish lives, honestly. I'm not saying something to you. I'm saying something to us. I have to say the same things to myself. And it's really only when we can begin to set preference aside in favor of the leading of the Holy Spirit that we can even begin to shape the posture of our heart. Otherwise, it's just going to run rampant. Otherwise, it's always going to lead us to offense. It's always going to allow us to be offended and to pick up others' offenses. And it's crazy. If you would sit down for 5 minutes and realize how many offenses that you have in your life that aren't yours at all. You've just picked them up along the way, and they don't even belong to you. Things that you feel about people you don't even really know. Things that you think about people that you really have never sat down and had a conversation with. Or that you've had conversations with, but they've been biased by someone else's offense. This stuff all goes back to why this great, an elderly apostle, would write a personal letter that would end up in Scripture. And it's valid to ask ourselves these questions, and necessary to ask ourselves these questions and be, brutally honest. Because what's the point of not being brutally honest with yourself? Where's that going to lead? Telling lies to yourself, where's that going to go? And so may we invite the Holy Spirit as we once again check in with ourselves through his eyes about the postures of our hearts. So Jesus, we need you, because all these things are true. And they always have been, so it's not as if we're in some kind of time where special things exist in the human heart that just didn't when you planted your church. Obviously, they did. And the posture of heart was constantly under siege, and vigilance was always required. This is why Peter, this is why James tells us to be so vigilant. This is why the Proverbs tells us to guard our hearts above all things, because everything else comes from this place. So, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, help us. May we release the things we are holding against others, our wives, our husbands, our kids, our community. May we release the offenses that aren't even ours. And may we directly address those that are. Maybe we need to ask forgiveness, and Holy Spirit, help us to know that. Maybe we just need to talk. Maybe we've picked up an offense, but we've just assumed things and haven't even asked, haven't even sat down, haven't even had the courage to say, this is kind of how I took that. And I just, you know, if I took it right, then I'd love to have this conversation. And if I took it wrong, I just want to clear that up, because I've been carrying things around that are just divisive. Because everything is moving us toward isolation. And isolation will make us vulnerable. Isolation will get us killed. So help us once again to know, God, that we need each other. That we play a role in each other's lives. That we are part of a body. And that you have knit us together to each play a role. Help us, God. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com is the website. And, you know, it's Christmas time, so lots of things are going on at the website. I think Mike's book that I've been talking about, Ancient Future Prayer, is a roadmap to the posture of heart. And it's a beautiful resource. Easy read. It's not long. It's not complicated. But it's a look at the Lord's Prayer in a holistic way that orients us to God, that essentially places every aspect of our life under His authority, that really invites us to invite Him, that really asks Him to bring His kingdom into our lives and change the way that we're thinking about everybody and everything, because we're agreeing with Him as opposed to agreeing with the offense, or agreeing with the assumption, or agreeing with the hurt, or agreeing with whatever else the voices are telling us. So it's a great resource that you can find at the Daily Audio Bible store. You can also find the Daily Audio Bible gift box, which includes that book, as well as passages and a passages study guide, a brand new stainless steel mug that we've created for the season, some coffee or tea of your choice. Just so you can see it all there. It's a great gift idea. And so if you are looking for some Daily Audio Bible stuff, we have really, really excellent things at the Daily Audio Bible store. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, this is the end of the year, so thank you for considering us as you're planning your year-ending, year-end giving. Daily Audio Bible is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, so we will certainly get you your tax receipt for your giving. There's a link on the website. The mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Thank you for your partnership. It is how we do what we do. What we do together. And that's only how it's ever been. So that's only how I can see it ever being. What we do as a community. What we do as a family. And so thank you for your partnership. If you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. And while you're at the website, put your pin on the Daily Audio Bible World. And while you're at the front page of the website, you'll see this link on the left-hand side that says, make your mark on the Daily Audio Bible World. Click that link and you'll understand better what I'm talking about. All right, that's it for today. I love you. I'm Brian. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, DAB family. This is Kira calling from Connecticut. Calling for two reasons. One, I just wanted to call and say to Blind Tony that, oh my goodness, I just listened to your message. I'm a little bit behind. I just listened to your message thanking God for your blindness and thanking God for using your bodily ills. And I just, brother, man, I am just so impressed with your faith and just kind of inspired me to think about all the things that I could turn around and be thankful for. So I just wanted to thank you for that. Also, just had a quick prayer request for myself. I am now going into my fifth month of pregnancy and everything's been going great. So I thank you guys for your prayers for that. But just wanted to call and ask you to just kind of lifts me up because it seems like a lot of people in my life have been really, really negative about child rearing, and just everything that they say is just kind of dwelling on the negative things about parenting and things like that. So if I could just ask you guys to keep me in prayer and keep me on your prayer list for these comments and things like that, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Listen to you every day on my way to work. Love you guys. Hope everybody's having a great year. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible. This is Andrew Wheeler from Boise, Idaho. I wanted to call in. This is my second time ever calling in. I've been listening for about 2 years now, and it has been phenomenally influential in my life. And I wanted to call in for a couple of reasons. I have one prayer request, but all before that, I wanted to say, Jerry in Duluth, your social media marketing business. I myself have an internet marketing consulting business, and I can hear in your voice the struggles and the fear that you talk about, and the frustration and the overwhelmness and everything that goes with that. And I'd love to help you out with that and, you know, offer any kind of advice or, you know, guidance that I can. So if you can email me at andrew@ecospacemarketing.com, that's ecospacemarketing.com, we can get together and I can help you out. And secondly, I wanted to give a prayer request for my stepdad. He is struggling with alcohol, and he's had several DUIs, several treatments. He was in intensive care and pretty much almost died, and he's getting back on track, but we've seen this cycle before where he stops drinking and then gets back into it. And if you could just lift him up from prayer and surround him with the white light of God and help give him courage and faith, and that would be wonderful. So thank you, Daily Audio Bible, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, family. My name is Melissa. I'm from Albertville, Alabama. Today is November 28th. I've been listening for about a year and a half. I'm calling in response to the lady from Mississippi whose husband is leaving her for a younger woman. I think she said they were married for 30 years. Ma'am, I've been through the same thing. I know exactly how you feel. Don't let this shake your faith. Hold on to God. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. I am praying for you. It breaks my heart to hear about people whose families are falling apart, but that's what Satan's job is. He wants to destroy the family. I love y'all so much. Blind Tony, God bless you. You are such an inspiration. For the sick people that's called, Rebecca from Southern California, I think that was her name, with the muscle pain. Ken with the lower back pain. Roger needing a kidney. Nancy, God bless you, from Seattle. I love y'all. Y'all keep holding on. God is going to see you through this. You have so many people praying for you, and we love you so much. Y'all have a blessed day. Thank you, Brian. I love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Today I am calling my daily audio Bible family to ask for strength, guidance, and encouragement so that I can share this with my children. A daughter who just recently went through a separation and living all by herself, hundreds of miles away, helped me to encourage her. And my son who is in school, and often feels in college, and has probably feels so overwhelmed. Please pray that you'll get the strength, the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding to achieve the goals that he has set. He knows that everything is done through the strength and the power of God. So with your prayer, I know that it will help to strengthen him. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jerry calling from Duluth, Minnesota. I wanted to call and just share my heart and ask for prayer. God has blessed me beyond measure in my 52 years of life. At the age of 15, I set my course of direction on the ministry, went to Bible college, and was in the ministry until I was about 35. I had a heart towards the Word. I read the Word of God every day, read through the Bible many times. The years of ministry were good years. God, by His grace, used His word. And when I was about in my 30s, I started to kind of stray. My heart moved in a different direction. And God didn't put me on the shelf. I put myself on the shelf and kind of turned away from Him and went in the direction of graphic design, and that was of God. He blessed and used those years, the last 15, 16 years. And now I start a new phase in my life. I've often called this year saying I want to be a social media marketer, but this has definitely been a year of shift for me. And more than anything, I guess, going into 2013 is I want to know God. I want to know His holiness. I want to present my life a living sacrifice, but in order to do that, I have to first be holy. And I can't do that on my own. I want to be acceptable to God. It's only reasonable, says in Romans chapter 12.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Stan in Omaha. I don't know why I haven't called earlier, but I just could covet your prayers for my wife. I really feel like she has a spirit of infirmary that has been plaguing her for quite some time now. She'll go from one ailment to the next, whether it be her knee, and then that will start feeling better, and that'll be her stomach. And then most recently, the most debilitating has been these headaches that she's been having. And just, she goes to a place of fear in that too, and thinking of the worst. And to me, it's just so obviously a spiritual oppression, how she'll feel pain in one area and then feel it get better. And then later that evening, it'll be something else. And I just could covet your prayers. I've been praying in authority, and I just would like for you to join with me, if you would, and just to help her to overcome this enemy, and help me to help her overcome this enemy as well. And her name is Susan, and I thank you so much for your prayers.